Okay, so today's daf is Yuma, daf Chaf Gimel. We're starting sort of towards the end of Yuma, Chaf Beis, Amud Beis. I'm just going to mute everyone. Obviously, unmute yourself when you have a question. There's some background noise. Hopefully, it's not mine. Okay, so we got to where it says Ben Shaul B'molcho. That's about 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, about 9 lines from the bottom of Chaf Beis Amud Beis. So the Gemara is talking about the righteousness of Shaul HaMelech, even though, again, he sinned. Ben Shana Shaul B'molcho, the Pasuk says that Shaul was 1 year of his rule. And now, obviously, he wasn't a year old when he ruled. So they have to darshan, the Chazal have to darshan the Pasuk. So Rav Huda Kib Ben Shana. Shaul was like a child who was a year old, Shalotam Tamchei, that he didn't taste the taste of sin. Masler of Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Ve'eba Keben, Shara, Shemaluk, Batir, Vetzoa. Maybe it means that he's like a year, a baby is a year, that he's full, he always soils his diaper, and he's, you know, he's dirty, and he's, okay, so he's, it maybe means he's dirty in sin. So, Achvie, Leila Rav Nachman, Siyuta Bechelme. Rav Nachman showed Rav Nachman fear in his dream, that the angels, I guess, of fear were scaring him in his dream. So Nachman understood, based on this, that he spoke negatively about Shaul. Amar nenesi lachem atzmos Shaul ben Kish. So I spoke against you more than it was fitting, he says, for the bones of caused the bones of Shaul to get obviously upset. Hader chadishyut b'chame. He saw fear in his dream, since he didn't speak respectfully about Shaul. That he says, "Amar, Nenesi lochem atzmo Shaul ben Kish Melech Yisrael." So then he says, "I spoke against you more than it was fitting, Shaul ben Kish, the king of Yisrael." Amar Yehuda Mar Shmuel, "Mibnei Malonim Shchamachos Beis Shaul, why didn't the house of Shaul continue, the kingdom continue?" There was no pigam. There was no problem. It's not any kind of invalidity in the yichus of his family. And the concern was that they would think that anyone who comes from him will be arrogant. But David actually had a lot of pagam. He had a lot of blemishes in his lineage. And because he came from Rus HaMovia, that seems to be counterintuitive. You would think if you have yichus, then your kingship is going to continue here because he has his yichus. So it did not continue. We don't appoint a leader on the people unless there is a box of insects that are hanging from his back. There's a pagam. There's something invalid in his yichus. That if he gets arrogant, you tell him, yeah, just remember, look in the box of shratzim, of insects that look where you came from. Don't be so arrogant. So it's interesting. So he said, in other words, when we pick a leader, he has to have some skeletons in his closet so he doesn't get too arrogant. Why was Shaul punished? He waived his honor. And therefore, that was inappropriate. So he demonstrated that he wasn't fit for ruling, because a king needs to extend fear and dread on other people. Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, after Shmuel anointed Shaul, the Pasuk says, Uvnei Blial Amru. And the sort of wicked people said, hold on 1 second. And the wicked people said, Mayu Shade is that, yeah, who's this guy's gonna help us, this guy's gonna save us. Vayivzu Vloibilo Bidcha, and they disgraced him, and they didn't bring him an offering. Vahikamachrish, and he was silent. Uksivi al Nachash Amori Bichad al Yavish Gilad. Nachash the Amori fought with Yehudim, with the Jews in Yavish Gilad, and Shaul saved them. And then the people said to Shmuel, we should kill those wicked people who disgrace Shaul. And Shaul said, no, no one should die. He was mochel on his kavod. And he was mochel on the kavod of the malchus. So the another passage about a Talmid Chacham was not mochel on his kavod, and it's not about him; it's about the institution of the malchus. So now you can say a Talmid Chacham should not be mochel on his kavod. Rabbi Yochanan Mishim, Rabbi Shim ben Yotzadak, Rabbi Shim ben Yotzadak says, "Kol Talmid Chacham, sheno nokim v'noter kenachash." Any scholar who doesn't take revenge like a snake. He's not a Talmud Chacham because he's gonna, if people sort of disgrace him and he doesn't stand up for himself, then people are gonna disgrace Talmid Chachamim. Av Haksib doesn't write in the pasuk Lo Sikov Lo Sitor. Don't take revenge. Don't bear a grudge. Ahu b'mamon Yachsev. That's when it comes to monetary issues, not when it comes to emotional pain. So at the time, because they have a brisa, ezohi nekima vezohi netira. What's considered revenge? What's considered holding a grudge? Nekima is amar la sheli ma golcha. That revenge is when Reuven says to Shimon, "Lend me your sickle." Amar lo lab no. Lamacha amar lo. The next day, Shimon says to Reuven, "Hashelini kardumecha. Lend me your axe." Amar lo. Reuven says back to him, "Eni ma shilcha kederach shilhi shaltadi." I'm not going to lend you, just like you didn't lend me. Zoe Nekima, that's revenge. But Zoe Netir, what's it holding a grudge? Obalei Ashil, Shashileidi Kadubecha. Reuven says to Shimon, "Lend me your axe." Obalei, lo. Shimon says, no. Lamacha, Obalei Ashileidi Chalukha. The next day, Shimon says to Reuven, "Lend me your cloak, your tunic." Omalo, Helach, here, take it. Eni Kavoscha, not like you. Shalohi Shaltai, you didn't lend me. So Zohi Netira. So this is Netira. So again, this is not... This is not saying this. These are not simply examples. It actually limits the cases of the prohibitions of lo sikim lo sitor to financial issues. Yeah, well, you're not doing it because you hate the guy. You're doing it because you're stingy. We actually did this. I actually quoted this Gemara. So I don't think. So I don't think in that case, because the reason why you're not letting him your car is not because you hate the guy. You want to take revenge because you don't want someone. You're afraid he's going to mess up your car. So I think that's yes. That's not revenge. Vitsara de Gufalo. So the Gemara asks, is it true that you're not supposed to avoid taking revenge if there is pain to your body, in other words, it's emotional pain or no financial damage? So the Hatanya, but we hope we learn the price of Hanel Lovim, Beidim Ovim, someone who basically takes who other people are speaking disrespectfully to, and they don't fight back. Shomim Kharpasam, they listen to the shame. Beinam Hashem, they don't respond. Osim Me'ava, they're doing mitzvah Hashem from love of Hashem, not to receive reward. Usmecha B'Yerasam, they're happy when they have Yisur, when they have suffering. Aleim Al-Gazal Omer, Bo'ohav, Kitzes Hashem, Hashem Kvoroso. And then about them, the Pasuk says that they, in the future, will illuminate like the light of the sun, in its strength. So the Brisa here praises someone who doesn't take revenge on someone who dishonors him. So the Gemara says, La'olam dinakil le'beli o'kifad. You really are not supposed to take revenge, but you're allowed to hold it in your heart. Meaning it's not fit for a Talmid Chacham to take revenge, but he should be silent and not respond. And when it says that Talmid Chacham should take revenge like a snake, it means he should hold it in his heart for the covet of his Torah. And when someone else comes to, let's say, someone steps up for him and say, how dare you disgrace this Talmid Chacham, he should not prevent the other person from doing that. So, now again, obviously, it should be commensurate to what the first person did. You shouldn't exaggerate and try to punish the person more than what he did. But the Gemara now says, "V'hava Rava kol abavir bidos abavir lo kol pshav." But doesn't Rava say that if you wipe away the hurt, that you're not so makbid on your bidos, and you're not so makbid when someone embarrasses you or hurts you emotionally, then Hashem Midas Adin is not so medactic, is not so precise about your sin. So it's a good thing that you shouldn't be makbid at all, even in your heart. So Gemara says, no, that's only to mefais alei umefais. He says, no, that's only if they appease you and they sincerely apologize. So then you should forgive. But Rabbi Shimon ben Yotzadak says, in a situation where they don't appease him, because then, because of Kavanah Torah, you should take revenge, at least in your heart. So the Gemara now says, there are other stories which seem to indicate differently, but this Gemara seems to say that you're allowed to hold it in your heart. The Gemara now returned to describe the lottery in our Mishnah that was done through the counting of the fingers. Mahin Motzin. So what would they, initially they would have a lottery, and everyone put out a finger. So what would they put out? Achaz Hashtayim, one or two fingers. But they wouldn't take out a thumb. And there was a Kohanim who would stand through the lottery. They put out one finger or two fingers for the count. So Gemara thinks at this point that if you put out one finger, you count one. If you put out two fingers, you count two at this point. So Gemara says, Hashtayim Motzin Achaz Mibai. So now that the Mishnah said that a Kohen is allowed to put out two fingers, and it's considered like two, why does it say that you can put out one finger and considered like one? So Gemara says, no. When the Mishnah says you put out one finger, we're talking about a Kohen who is healthy. He's not allowed to put out two. When it says you put out two, we're talking about a Kohen who is a little sick. It means he can't only put out one finger. When he puts out one, like he has to put out two. So when he puts out one, then he could put the one next to it. So they allow you to put out two. And you're not going to make the mistake of counting as two. Because if you put out two, one next to the other, they're going to count that as one. But Tanya, Achas Motzin, Shtayim Motzin, but doesn't it say you only put out one, you shouldn't put out two? But that's talking about a healthy person. But with a person who's sick, in other words, he can't put out only one at a time, so you can take out two fingers. When the sick people, Motzin Shtayim, they can put out two fingers. But they only counted as one. Is it true that they only count for a chola, takes the two fingers, only one? But Tanya, you're not supposed to put out the middle finger, that's called an ama, or the thumb, because of the tricksters, so they're going to make it seem like you're counting two. But if you count, if the coin did take out his middle finger, Monin Lo, we count it because he's not a trickster. Because you can't distance. So then it seems like it's both them, the index and the middle finger, are like they belong to one person. Gudal Ein Monin Lo, if he puts out his thumb, we don't count it at all. But we remove him. I'm just going to think some people, there's someone here is making some noise. So hold on. Okay, hold on. Obviously, unmute when you have what to say. It says that the thumb, we don't count him at all, even one, but we remove him from amongst the other Kohanim. Below Od, Elish Lokech Min Hamamuna Bepakia. But we take from the one who's in charge of the straps of lashes, meaning that we count, the simple understanding is, it says Hotzi. I'm sorry. Right. No. So it seems here that if you take out the middle finger, I'm sorry. It seems if you take out the middle finger at this stage of the Gemara, so there we're not concerned with trickery. You shouldn't do a lechatchila, but you would count it as two. But that's a difficulty. I thought you only count one. So Gemara says my monim lo nami achas. No. What it means that you put out your middle finger and your index finger, when it says we count it, I mean we count it both as one, but not as two. So my pakia, what does it mean pakia? The guy who puts up the thumb, because there he's trying to make it seem like he's got two different fingers, two different people, he's trying to rig the count. So I'm a rab, madra. So my madra, what's a madra? My papa, matrika de tayai. A strap of Arab merchants who use it to hit, like a whip, the horses, the psik reshe, that the head is of the strap is cut and split into thin strips so the horse would feel it more. And the lashon of pakia is like cracks. So in other words, the the width of the strap is cut and cracked in its head, in the top of it. Amar Abaye, Abaye says, Nareshava, mean initially I said, Haditan ben Bivai. That which we learned in the Mishnah, that ben Bivai Mamuna al Pakia, he was in charge of the Pakia. Amina, I said, that was Pakia Pasilta, the little threads to light the menorah. Kiditnan, Mivloi Michnese Hakohanim, from the worn out michnasayim, you know, the pants of the kohanim, umehem yonehem, and from their old belts, mehen hayumavkiim, they'd rip out some straps to make these wicks. Uvahen hayumalikim, they use it to light the menorah for the simcha, the lights that for the simcha b'neshoeva. So we see that pakia is a lashon of psilos, and so kevan. So it says mamuna al pakia. I would think it means the one who's in charge of these wicks. But came on the Shemana Laha the time load Ella Shalokim Mimino Pakia. But once the Bryce has said that you give Malkus with the Pakia, Amina, I said my Pakia, Nagdas, what are Pakia? Straps that you give lashes. So the Mamuna, he was the one in charge of hitting the guy, the Kohen, who acted inappropriately. Or maybe he was also the one who would hit the Kohen Levim who were sleeping during on their job when they were supposed to watch the Mikdash at night. There was at the Rambam. The Rambam writes that basically if someone started falling asleep on the job, so they'd hit him a little bit so he'd wake up. Now the Mishnah said that any Kohen who wanted to do the Trumas Hadeshet initially could do it, and if there were a lot of Kohen who wanted to do it, so they'd run and who'd ever get within the top four amos of the ramp first would get to do it. There's a story where two of them were equal and they ran up the ramp, one pushed the other and he fell, he broke his leg. So then they said, okay, you can't yet, you need a lottery. There's a story with two Kohanim who were both equal and running and going up in the ramp. So one of them reached the top four amos before his friend. So Natal Sakin, the other Kohen who lost, took out a knife. It took a little belibo. So he stabbed him. Amar Rabbi Tzadok Amalo Sa'ulam. So Rabbi Tzadok stood on the steps of the Ulam. By Harbai, it's Amar Achenev Eish Yisrael, Shimu. Rei Omer, Kimo Tzei Chalo Ba'adam, Av Yotzi Tzukei Nef Shavtecha. Pazik says by the Egla Rufa, that if a corpse is found on the ground, and then the elders and the judges will say, and they'll measure which is the closest city. And Anu, Almila Havi Egla Arufa. So who should bring the Egla Arufa because this just happened? So it should be Al Ha'ir, the people living in Yerushalayim, all Azaras, the Kohanim who are guarding the Azara. So as he's saying, how could this have happened? So go Kolab Bivchiyal, everyone was crying. But Aviv Sheltino, the father of the child who was killed, and went so Shehum Farfair, and he saw that he was rolling in the dust. And he hadn't died yet. Amar, Harehu Kaparaschem. Behold, his death is going to serve as an atonement. But dying b'ni mefarper velo nitma sakin. But my child is still rolling in the dust, and the knife is still not tamei tumas ames. Meaning, he's saying, take the knife out of his heart before. It's weird, a little strange. Before he dies. And the knife will become tame. Apparently, he's very concerned that they take the knife off. Lamencha, shekasha aleim, taras kelim yosef b'shvichus damim. So we see how it seems pretty awful that they were more concerned with the knife becoming tame than the murder which took place. So the right, this seems to be a problem here. And then the Chenu Omer, V'gam Damnaki Shafach Menashe Harbei Ma'od, Adashemile Yishlaim Peh L'Peh. That this, about this it was said in the Pasuk of Malachim, that the blood that Menashe spilled until all of Yishlaim was filled with blood, and that this was similar to the days of Menashe when they didn't take murder seriously. So in our Mishnah, so I guess it's another, okay. So our Mishnah was said that because of the story that one Kohen pushed the other when he broke his leg, the Chamim were mitaken that they would have a lottery to determine who would do the true Sadeshen. But the story of the Braisa says that someone killed someone else, but nevertheless, they were not mitaken. They didn't legislate as a result of this lottery. So that seems to be a little strange. So the Gemara says, "Hi, Ma'aseh Kodem." Which of these two stories came first? If you say that the murder came first, I don't understand. They're not going to make a lottery. They're not going to decide to go to make a lottery because of this murder, but they are going to do it from a broken leg. So then, rather, the broken leg came first. Once they made the lottery, Arba Amos, Ma'avidatayo. So the four Amos that were mentioned in the story of Shichos Dami, what's going on? Why were the Kohanim running still if there was already a lottery? So what came first? Elohim Shichos Dami coming. So really the murder came first. So they thought, you know, that's always the question, right? Do you make a whole new policy based on one story? So they thought that this murder was an isolated incident. Once they saw that Stam, just even a broken leg could come, even without intent to harm, so it could lead to danger. Then they made the lottery. In any case, the Gemara is now going to discuss the brisa that was mentioned above. So he said, you know, this is like the story of Egla Rufa. Anan Ami Lahavi, who should bring the Egla Rufa? Alir al Azaros, who should bring it? The people of Yerushalayim or the Kohanim and the Azara. Where it says, Yerushalayim Barasuye. Egla Rufahi. Why is Yerushalayim supposed? The people of Yerushalayim are supposed to build, bring an Egla Rufa. Tanya Sara Devarim Nemu Yerushalayim. There were 10 things that were said about Yerushalayim. V'zo'achapim. One of those was what? Einam Avi Egla Rufa. That the inhabitants don't bring an Egla Rufa when a corpse is found in its surroundings. But oh, Lona Dami Kogsiv. And the story of Egla Rufa is, well, you don't know who hit him, who murdered him. And here, Avah No Dami Kog. So the cases are not equivalent. Because here, you know the guy who stabbed the other person. Now, obviously, this wasn't a case of Lagarufa, or Ritzodok did this to increase the crying, to waken the people to cry about the story, because they were desensitized to this murder. Okay, so then they quote this price again. So now they're quoting this story, the end of the story, where the father finds a child who's still jumping around, who's not dead yet, and he says quickly, take out the knife before it becomes tame, and says that some people care more about the purity of their kelim more than murder. So how do we view this man's warped sense of right and wrong, warped sense of values? Was he simply desensitized to murder, but his feeling of stringency for Taras Kalim is normal? Or maybe the murder was normal, his feeling of murder was normal, but his obsession with Taras Kalim was very stringent. So Tashmami, the Kanasi Vlay Tamuda, Vagam Damnaki Shavach Menashe, Shmamina Shuch Damhu Dezil, the Taras Kim Kinukam Kama. The fact that they quoted a pasuk about Menashe, that how Menashe killed innocent blood, so obviously what was the issue? The issue was not that he was overly sick with Taras Kalim. The issue was that he was overly desensitized to murder. Now, we get back to the lottery that was done for the Trumas HaDeshen. So, this was an obligation each and every day. And the Pasuk says, Upashat Espegadah Velovash Begadah Macherim, that he would remove his Kohen, would remove his clothes, and he'd wear other clothing. And he'd remove the ashes outside the camp to a Tahor place. In other words, besides the Trumas HaDeshen, the Kohanim would also. Now there are two different parts of Trumas HaDeshen. There is removing part from the, the limbs of the korbanos that were burnt from the mizbeach, and to put them on the floor of the azara. And then there was another job, which was to remove it from the floor of the azara to when there's a big enough heap near the mizbeach, to remove that outside the city to another place. So, okay, so there are two different parts. So Tana Rabbanan, Upashat Velosh Ben Mechei Votzias Hadeshen. So Shoma, from that pasuk, the Brisa explains, Shomani, I would understand that removing the garments, I said here, doesn't make the whether we're that is Kederach Yom Kippurim. This is like what was said by Yom Kippur, that it's an obligation the Kohen Gadol to undress and to put and to change with the five avodas of Yom Kippur, that you change your garments between each avoda. The Kohen did five, he would change five times, because he would first do the Big Day Zahav. The Big Day Zahav was his regular clothing from every day, where he'd do the regular avoda. The second time he would do the Big Day Lavan, when he's going to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The third is when he does the Big Day Zahav, when he does some other avoda. Then the fourth is Big Day Lav, he goes back to Kodesh HaKadoshim. And then the fifth is he does regular avoda, daily avoda, Big Day Zahav. So Shaposhet, Big Day Kodesh, he would first remove his holy garments that he was wearing when he did the Truma Sadeshen, because what does the say? So when he did the Truma Sadeshen, removing the ashes of the limbs that were burnt on the Mizbeach, so then you're wearing your clothing, and then you remove that, then you wear your regular clothing, and with your regular clothing, you take it outside the city. Tamalomar, so you might have said that. So Tamalomar, Pashas Begadav, Lovash Begadav Mechayrim. Because no, the fact is that you wear other clothing, Makish Begadav Shalovish, Lub Begadav Shaposhet, Malahal and Bidei Kodesh, Avkai and Bidei Kodesh. So what seems is that you wear other Big Day Kahuna. Now, you have Big Day Kahuna that you're wearing when you do Truma Sadeshen, and then you have other Big Day Kahuna that you wear when you remove the ashes to outside the city. The Gemara is going to continue. Imkein matam lomar acherim. What does it mean acherim? Others. So pchusim mehem. They have to be less expensive. Less expensive. Rabbi Eliezer Omer acherim behotzi. So he says you have to darshan the word acherim is not said on the begadim. He wants to say limin al kohanim bale mumim shek shem lo tzitadeshim. That you're supposed to read it like this. You're supposed to read Acherim Hotzi Esadeshin. That others, some individuals who are pasul, who are invalid to do the avoda, namely people who have mumin, who have blemishes, they're called Acherim. So they are allowed to remove the ashes outside the city. Amar Mar, so now we're going to explain. Acherim Pchusi Mehem. So the first opinion, Tanakama says, that the garments have to be less valuable. So, Kidetana Dve Rabbi Ishmael. So this is like the Tana. This is like the Tana Dve Rabbi Ishmael. What the Tana Dve Rabbi Ishmael said. That, Tana Dve Rabbi Ishmael, Begadim Shebishel Bahen Kedir Larabo, the Begadim that you cook, that the servant cooks for his master, that you typically get dirty from the cooking, Lo Yimzog Kos Bahen Kos Larabo, you can't use it to pour a cup of wine for your master. That's not appropriate. So here, the if you do Truma Sadeshen, right, when you remove some of the ashes outside, okay, to a pile near the Mizbeach, you're not going to get so dirty. But when you take all the ashes, you carry it outside the city, so you're going to dirty all your garments. And so therefore, it's not appropriate that you should use the same garments for some of the other avodas. So therefore, you should wear a lesser garment. So Amar Ish Lakish, Kiv Machlokis Potza, Kach Machlokis Barama. So Rabbi Lazar, who argues on Tanakama, just like he argues on regarding removing the Truma Sadeshin, Rabbi Lazar says that that Bali Mumim can take out the ashes outside the city. Tanakama says they cannot. So the argument also, they also argue with Truma Sadeshin, whether it's kasher for the Bali Mumim. Rabbi Yochanan Mar Machlokes Potza Bavarama Diver Kol Avodahi. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, they only argue about removing the ashes from the heap to outside the city. However, removing the ashes from the Mizbeach to right next to the Mizbeach, everyone agrees that is an Avodah, and only those who are kosher, who are kosher for the Avodah, namely Bale Mumim, non-Bale Mumim, are fit for this Avodah. My time of the Reish Lakish, the Reish Lakish, that Trumas Desh is not an Avodah, Amar Lach. Reish Lakish would say to you, Isok, that your mind, that it's an Avodah, he, I have a question. Ishcha Avodah, Shikshir, Bishnei Kalim. Is there an Avodah that is kosher, that's fit to be done with two garments and not with the four garments? Rav Yochanan, right, and because what does it say by Trumas Adeshin? It says, V'lavash akohen midei bad, u'michnasei vad yobash abasaro. So it implies from here, the Kohen who removes the Deshin, he wears only michnasayim and a ketones. So this obviously cannot be an avodah. But since it cannot be an avodah, it must be kosher with Bali Mumim. Rav Yochanan will say, no. Gali Rachmana Biktonich Michnasayim. The Torah reveals the fact, explicitly tells you that you have to wear a katona to Michnasayim, and it's not kosher with Big Day Chol, and so therefore you would know that because of that, you would know that it's an Avodah. And therefore, obviously, he would have to wear his turban and his belt. That's obvious. Because it mentions two of the four big day kahuna, obvious it's an avodah. Obviously, he has to wear the other two big day kahuna. So the Gemara now asks, Maishna honey. So then, why did the Torah specifically mention ketones and michnasayim and not mitznefes and avnet? So don't mention any big day kahuna, then we would know obviously that it's the avodah. So Gemara says, no, you need these two. Need to mention these two begadim for the following reason. Mido vad teaches you what? Mido, meaning kemidaso. It has to be like the measure, the size of the height of the kohen who wears it. That it shouldn't be long. It has to be mido vad, it has to be fit the size. It shouldn't drag on the ground, and it shouldn't be short and sort of raised up from the ground, but it should be equal to the ground. What's michnasei vad? How you know nothing should come before the michnasayim? That's the first thing you put on. The pasuk says the michnasayvad yobash abasaro. So abasaro is extra. So it tells you you should wear the michnasayim when you are unclothed, and it only goes the michnasayim go on your skin. Reish Lakish, and Reish Lakish, you hold that no, that Pasuk specifically mentioned michnasayim and ketones to tell you that the kohen doesn't have to wear the four begadim for trumas hadeshen, and therefore that's not considered an avodah, and therefore Bali Mum can do this. So he's going to say mido kemido so. He's going to say that the begadim have to be like the measurement of the kohen. So he said, "Bidafke rachmana beloshon mido." Since the Torah says, when it comes to the ketones, the loshon of mido doesn't say ketones, so then it says shelo yehei davar konel michnas. Right. So it says from the loshon of mido and not ketones. So he says that you're right. He still uses these drashos, but he's saying that the fact that the Torah doesn't say ketones. So it means, and use the word mido vad. So therefore, it means that you need to it needs to be that measure. And then shelo yehei davar kodem lemichnasayim, and the idea that you can't have anything before the michnasayim may al bisaro nafka. You learn it from the words al bisaro. Those words are extra for the drasha. And the Gemara wants to clarify. Nebuchadnezzar, let's say that this debate between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish is actually a debate between two Tanaim. What's a debate? Whether Trumas Hadesh is considered an Avodah, and whether it requires wearing the four begadim, and whether someone who's possible from the Avodah, a Balmum, can do Trumas Hadesh. So, because what does the Brisa say by Trumas Hadesh? Al Bisaro, Ma Tamalomar Yobash, why is the Brisa say Yobash? Lahavi, Mitznefes, Va'avni, La Rama. The fact that it says Yilbash, right? Because the pasuk already says v'lavash kohen. Why does it say yilbash? To tell you that he also has to wear a turban and a belt for the harama. And so divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda obviously holds what? It's an avoda. Rabbi Dosi omer that what is yilbash? Come to tell you the rabbis big day kohen gadol b'yom kippur. To tell you that the four big day love and the kohen gadol use yom kippur shekshem him la kohen hedyot. That they are kosher for the kohen hedyot to use the rest of the year. That the big day love of the kohen gadol, it's what does it say? It says kesonas bad kodesh yilbash. It has that extra word yilbash. So we learn the yilbash from of trumas adeshen from the word yilbash of Yom HaKippurim. And so I want to tell you, because it says that the, what does it say by the Avodah Yom Kippur? It says that the Kohen Gadol, V'nicham Sham, that he should place his big day love on there. So maybe it would mean that what? That once the Kohen Gadol uses his Begadim on Yom Kippur, you cannot use it for anything else. Says Rabbi Dosa, no, you, a regular Kohen Hedyot can use those four Begadim. So the Braisa now brings a third opinion. So the Braisa brings the third opinion and says, well, I think someone's making noise in the background. Hold on. The Braisa brings a third opinion and says, I'm a Rebbe, shtei tshuvos b'davar. You can reject Rabbi Dosa's position in two ways. The belt of Kohen Gadol is not the same belt of the Kohen Hedyot. The Kohen Gadol's, we saw this debate. The Kohen Gadol's belt was made of Pishtan, on Yom Kippur, and the belt of the Kohen Hedyot was made of Kilayim. So how can it be that the baggage of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur could be used for the Kohen Hedyot? Va'od begonim shenishtamashta b'hen kedusha chamura, tishtamish b'hen kala. And if you use it for a greater type of avoda and kodesh kodashim, how can you use it for the rest of the year? Ella, rather, Rabbi has a different drasha. He says, "Matamul yobach." What's the word yobach? Tell you, lerabos es hashchakim, to tell you that they're kasher, that old begadim are kasher for all avoda as long as they are not ripped. Now, obviously, we're going to continue with this tomorrow. But obviously, in the first two opinions, as to whether you have to wear the mitznefes and the avnet, that's the position of Rabbi Yehuda. So he obviously holds that it's a real avoda, as opposed to Rabbi Dosa holds it's not a real avoda. Okay, let's stop here, and we will, God willing, continue tomorrow when I am not in my car. Okay, everyone, take care. Have a great day, everyone.